This week's Parsha is Parshas Shmini. In Parshas Shmini, we have the tragedy of Nadav Vavihu being killed. And we are going to start with chapter 10, verse number 1. The verse says, Vayikchu bnei Aaron, the children of Aaron took. Which children? Nadav Vavihu, ish machtosoi, each person his firepan. Vayitnu bohen eish, and put on them fire. Vayasimi oleo ketoris, and put on it incense. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, and they brought forth for Hashem, Eish Zara, a strange fire, Asher Loi Tziva Oysam, that Hashem did not command them to do. And then, Vateitze Eish Mifnei Hashem, a fire came out forth from Hashem, Vatoichal Oysam, and it burned them, Vayamusu lifnei Hashem, and they died in front of Hashem. And further on, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Aharon, Hu asher diber Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Leimur saying, Bikroivai ekodesh, by those who are near me I'll be sanctified, Va'al pnei chol om ekoved, that in front of the whole nation I will be honored, Va'idom Aharon, Aharon became silent. In regards to the reason why Nadav Vavihu died, there are many different interpretations. The Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Samach Gimel, Amad Aleph 63a, gives a few interpretations. It says that the reason that they died is because they did ha'alocha in front of Moshe, their rabbi, meaning that they ruled properly, that they should bring the ketores, the incense, in the Holy of Holies, but since they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu, and they ruled this in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was a disrespect, and because of this disrespect, they died. As an aside, this answer is a very good answer why they specifically died the way they died, that the fire came out of Hashem and went into the nostrils and killed their insides. Because since the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel, Omed Aleph 63a continues and says, Omar Abchia Barabe, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, that Abchia Barabe said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Amoira Alocha Bifnei Raboi, anybody who renders a ruling in front of his rabbi, Roy Lakishoy Nochosh, deserves to be bitten by a snake. And the Marsho explains that the reason why specifically deserves to be bitten by a snake is because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Choftes Amad Aleph 29a, says that we do not argue to defend amesis, meaning somebody who causes somebody else to sin, even though we could argue to defend them. We do not argue to defend them. And the Gemara says the reason we don't do that is because we learn from the original snake, because technically the snake could have had an argument against it being punished, because he could have said to Hashem, Divrei Orav veDivrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishamim, that if the rabbi says something and the student says something the opposite, whom should the people listen to? Meaning, Hashem said that man should not eat from the fruit, and the snake said that man should eat from the fruit, then whom should Adam have listened? Clearly should have listened to the rabbi. Therefore, technically, the snake is not guilty for what Adam Arishon did. But nonetheless, since Hashem cursed the snake and did not give the snake the opportunity to argue this argument, we learn from that we do not argue by somebody who causes somebody else to sin, for amesis. But nonetheless, from here we see that the snake gave a different ruling than Hashem in front of Hashem. Then the Marsha says that the snake was a moire halacha lifnei raboi. The snake gave a halacha in front of his rabbi, because Hashem said, do not eat from the fruit, and the snake said that you should eat from the fruit. Therefore, anybody who is moire halacha in front of his rabbi is tantamount of doing it what the snake did. Therefore, a snake should bite him. The Iyun Yaakov continues and says that according to this, we understand very well why the children of Aharon died by fire. Because since the Gemara in Soiter, Daf Ches Omed Beis, writes down, Toner Rabchia learned, Miyom Shechor of Beis Hamikdash, from the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, even though the Sanhedrin, the rabbinical court, was abolished, nonetheless, the capital punishments were not abolished, meaning that there is four capital punishments, which is decapitation, choking, stoning, and burning, those punishments still apply. The Gemara asks a question, we see that they don't apply. The Gemara answers, you don't understand me. I don't mean that the rabbis could pass judgment on these punishments. Clearly they can't, because once we don't have the rabbinical court, the Sanhedrin, then we cannot pass capital punishment judgments. Rather, those punishments still comes to a person because the law of those punishments still apply. Rather, the Gemara says that somebody who is required to be stoned, either he falls from the roof or an animal tears him up, which is tantamount of him being stoned. And somebody who is guilty of death by burning either falls on a fire, which is actually burning, or a snake bites him and poisons him and he dies by the bite of a snake, which the venom goes into his veins and it burns him in the inside. And then the Gemara says, somebody who is guilty of decapitation, either he's given over to a foreign government and they give him this punishment, or thieves kill him. And somebody who transgresses a crime that's punishable by choking, then either he drowns in the river, meaning that he chokes to death, or he gets the sickness that causes you to have a loss of oxygen, that a choking sensation, and that is the punishment. Then we see clearly that even though the Bezdin, the court, does not administer the punishments, but nonetheless, Hashem still gives you these punishments. Based on this, the Iyun Yaakov says, we see that somebody who deserves burning either falls on a fire or a snake bites him, because the bite of a snake is tantamount of burning. And he says that since somebody who is Moreh Halacha Lifnei Raboy deserves to be punished by a bite of a snake, therefore, the children of Aharon died by something that's tantamount to the bite of a snake, which is the burning. And in the same way that the bite of a snake is an internal burning, so too, when Hashem burned not the Vavil, Hashem made the two threads of fire would come out from the Holy of Holies and go in the nostrils of not the Vavil and burn their insides, and not their outside, like the bite of a snake, which is in the inside and not the outside. Rabbi Yonis in Eibshitz gives a different interpretation of why they died by fire, and he also brings this Gemara that says that somebody who is Moreh Halacha Lifnei Raboy deserves a snake bite, but then he brings the Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbe, Parsha Gimel, Simon Hay, that says that when the Jewish people came to the desert, they got very scared of the snakes of the desert. The Medrash says, Ma'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does Hashem do? Hoitzi Shnei Chutim Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, he took two threads of fire from the Holy of Holies, V'nechelku L'arba, they were divided by four, Usrafim L'chol Nachoshim, and they burned all the snakes. Meaning that Hashem used the heavenly fire to burn the snakes. According to this, comes out very well, he says, that since the children of Aharon, technically, when they did the halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, they deserved to be beaten by a snake, but since Hashem used the fire to burn the snakes, there were no snakes to bite them. Therefore, the same two threads of fire that previously burned the snakes, those threads of fire went into the noses of Nadav Avihu, and therefore they were able to do what the snakes needed to do. Meaning the threads of fire burned the snakes that's supposed to bite Nadav Avihu, because they did halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that there are no snakes, those threads of fire went in to Nadav Avihu and they did what the snakes were supposed to do. But going back to the Gemara there gives another reason why Nadav Avihu died. Rabbi Shmuel says that they died because they came in to the Mishkan drunk. The Yalkut, Remes Tov Kof Chof Dalet, writes down that they came in without washing their hand and feet. And Vyeshomrim, some say that they came in Mechusare Begodim, missing clothing. In the Medrash Rabbe Vayikra Parsha Chof, Simon Yud says that they died because in Shmos chapter 24 verse number 11 says that Hashem revealed himself in Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. There it says that they gazed at Hashem and they ate and drank, and at that time they should have died, but Hashem did not want to spoil the miracle and the happiness of Matan Torah. Therefore Hashem waited for later. But still, even according to all this Mefarshim, we have to understand how can they argue on what is written in the Torah. The Torah says clearly that they died because they brought Eish Zara, Ashaloi Tziva Oysom, that Hashem did not command them. Then how can they argue if what is written in the Torah? The Mizrahi asks this question, and the Mizrahi writes down that when the Torah writes down that they died because they did a fire that Hashem did not command them, that is not to tell you that this is the reason that they died. They died because of the reasons mentioned in the Talmud, but it's written that they brought the fire that Hashem did not command them to let you know that it's not like Aharon, that Aharon did everything that Hashem commanded. They did something that Hashem did not command. They did it on their own. Meaning that you should not make a mistake that they came in with all these problems because they wanted to do something that Hashem commanded. They came in and did something that Hashem did not command them to do at all. And the question that we have to understand is, what is the difference if Hashem commanded them to go inside the Holy of Holies, or did not command them to go inside of the Holy of Holies? If the problem is, as we mentioned previously, that they ruled in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, or they came in drunk, or they came without washing their hands, or came in lacking clothing, or they already deserved death from before, then what's the difference if Hashem commanded them to go in or didn't command them to go in? They came in a very bad way. The problem was the way they came in. Then why does the Torah says that they were punished because they did something Ashaloi Tziva Oysom that Hashem did not command? Clearly, if they came in drunk, even though technically Hashem would have commanded them to do, they would be punished anyways. Then why does the Torah emphasize that they were punished because they did something Ashaloi Tziva Oysom that Hashem did not command? Sefer Shemeroish answers this question by asking another question. He asks that we know that on chapter 11, verse number 2, right before the Jewish people leave Egypt, the verse says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daber na be'ozne'am, speak please in the ears of the nation, v'ishalu ish me'isre'eyu, that let them borrow a man from his fellow, v'isho me'isre'uso, and a woman from her fellow, klei chesef uklei zav, vessels of silver and vessels of gold." And the question that he asks is, why is it written, "Daber na," ask please, "ba'oznei ha'am," in the ears of the people? Why doesn't he say, "Daber na la'am," speak please to the people? Why is Hashem mentioning specifically, "ba'oznei ha'am," in the ears of the people? And the other question that he asks is that the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Tes, Omed Aleph 9a explains, and Rashi brings it down the place, what does it mean, "Daber na ba'oznei ha'am," ask please in the ears of the people, they should borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver? Rashi says that Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to make a special effort to prevail upon the Jewish people that they should request vessels of gold and vessels of silver from the Egyptian, because unless they did so, then Avraham Avinu would come to Hashem and complain that Hashem promised all the way back in the covenant between the parts in Bereishis chapter 15, verse number 13, that you should surely know that stranger will be your children in the land that's not theirs. Vavodum, they'll be enslaved. Ve'inu oysom, arba me'er shana, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. And then the verse says, Vegames agoya she yavoidu dalanoichi, in the nations that's going to enslave them, I will judge. And then the verse says, Vachrechein yeitzu birchush gadol, and afterwards they will come out if a huge wealth. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu could have complained to Hashem that the part that they're going to be afflicted and enslaved for 400 years, Hashem fulfilled. Yet the part that they'll come out if a huge wealth, Hashem did not fulfill. Therefore Hashem asks that the Jewish people should borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver in order that Avraham Avinu should not complain, and in order that Hashem should be able to fulfill that afterwards they will come out if a huge wealth. The question the Sefer Shemeroish asks is, if Hashem wants to fulfill and he wants the Jewish people to fulfill this saying that Hashem promised that they'll come out with a huge wealth, then why doesn't Hashem just make a commandment that go borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver? In the same way that Hashem made commandments, go make the Passover offering, because Hashem said, Mishchu uchulachem, go make a Passover offering. Hashem didn't say, please go make a Passover offering. Hashem gave us a commandment to make the Passover offering. Then why, when it's coming to fulfill the promise that He said that we should come out of a huge wealth, Hashem doesn't say it in a commandment tone? Go borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Why does Hashem have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, please let them go borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver? Sefer Shemir Rosh answers this based on the Gemara in Soita, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph 21a, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yosef says, Mitzvah be'idna the asik ba, a mitzvah while he's involved in performing the mitzvah, magno, it protects him from punishment, umaslo, and saves him from sinning. And the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Ches Amud Beis 8b, writes down, Omar Rabbelazar says, Shlucha mitzvah, messengers of a mitzvah, Einon izoikin loy balichoson, veloy bechazirason, they do not get harmed, neither by going, neither by coming back. That means that when a person is doing the mitzvah, since he's doing the will of Hashem, it's impossible that something bad should happen while he is doing the will of Hashem. And the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Re'eh writes down, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Shimuli, listen to me, because she'ein adam shomea li umafsit, we never saw a person listening to Hashem that he should lose. Then clearly when Hashem gives you a commandment to do something, it's impossible that you should be harmed while you're doing this commandment. According to this, Sefer Shemen Rosh explains what is written in Parshas Shlach, Bamidbar, chapter 13, verse number 2, where it says that Shlach lecho anoshim, sent, if you please, or sent to you, men, ve'yosuru esetz Knan, they'll spy the land of Canaan, which means, and there the Torah goes on to describe how the spies spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael, and because of that it was decreed that everybody should die in the desert during the 40 years that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies. There Hashem does not give a commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu to send the spies, because Hashem knows the spies are going to do something wrong, and since the spies are going to do something wrong, then Hashem knows that he cannot give the commandments that the spies should go spy the land, because when Hashem gives a commandment, no evil and no harm could come to him. Therefore, Rashi writes down there from the Medrash Tanchuma, Shlach lecha ledatcho, according to your own will, according for yourself, Ein ani metzavelach, that I'm not commanding you. Im tirtze, shlach, if you want, send. Why isn't Hashem commanding Moshe Rabbeinu to send spies? Because since Hashem knows that harm will come out because of the spies, and when Hashem does something, then the person cannot be harmed, then Hashem does not want to send the spies. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you do it on your own. I'm not blocking you, but I'm not commanding you. Because of this reason, says Sefer Shemir Rosh, Hashem had to tell the Jewish people in a way of asking and not as a commandment to get the money from the Egyptians. Since Hashem knew that the test of wealth is going to be too strong for the Jewish people, and they are eventually going to use this money for the golden calf, as the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a says, in the name of Rav Yanai, that Moshe Rabbeinu defended the Jewish people after they did the golden calf by telling Hashem that Kesef Vezov Sheshpatol Am Yisrael, Atche Omru died, that the silver and the gold that you gave to the Jewish people until they said enough, that is what caused them to do the golden calf. And the Academy of Rav Yanai gives an analogy that says that a lion does not roar amidst a basket of straw, meaning when it's straw, it doesn't have the strength to roar. He only roars because he gets a basket of meat, which means that the meat that you feed him, that is what causes him to roar. And the Gemara gives other examples, but go to the example of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the example of a man that had a son, and he washed him and anointed him with oil, and gave him to eat and gave him to drink, and gave him a purse full of money on his neck. and he puts them at the entrance of the house of prostitutes. So how do you expect that this child would not sin with the prostitutes? So too, Hashem enriched the Jewish people when they came out of Egypt, and he gave them gold and silver, clothing, food, and then he placed them in the place of temptation. Then clearly the gold that the Jewish people had, that is what caused them to sin. And eventually the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmani, Omar Rabbi Yonason, in the name of Rabbi Yonason, that Hashem agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu, as it's written in Hosea chapter 2, verse number 10, Verkesef hirbesi loho, that I gave to the Jewish people a lot of silver, Vezav osu lo egel, and they used the gold for the golden calf, meaning that Hashem admits that the fact that Hashem gave them so much wealth, that is also a reason why they did the golden calf. Therefore, something bad was going to come out from the fact that the Jewish people got the gold of the Egyptians. Therefore, Hashem didn't want to give them a commandment directly, because when Hashem gives a commandment directly and you follow the will of Hashem, then no badness and nothing bad could happen. And since Hashem knew that they're going to use this gold for the golden calf, therefore Hashem says, Daber na, ask them please to get the gold and silver of the Egyptians, because I have to fulfill what I told to Avraham Avinu, but not that I am commanding them to get the gold and silver. And therefore, says Sefer Shem Eroish, since when we gave the golden calf, it's written in Shmos chapter 32, verse number 3, Vaisporku kolam es nizmi azov asher bozneim, that the whole nation took away the earrings that they had in their ears, they brought to Aharon, and Aharon threw it in the fire, and came out the golden calf. Then comes out that the golden calf was made by something that came from the air. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber na, say please, why is Hashem commanding? Because ba'ozne'am, because the ears of the people, that they should ask for gold and silver. Hashem is hinting that the sin is going to come by the ears of the people. Hashem doesn't say, Daber na, say please la'am for the nation. Hashem is hinting that the crime, that the gold that they are going to use for the golden calf is going to come from the ears, from the earrings. Therefore Hashem says, I am telling you, please, ba'ozne'am, because of the ears of the people, that they should borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver, and bad is going to come out of them. Therefore, Hashem doesn't command them directly. Sefer Shem Eroish says that the Eitz HaChaim on Shabbos HaGadol brings the same idea to answer Tosfos' question in Shabbos Daf Peiches Omed Aleph, 88a. There the Gemara says that when we receive the Torah on Shmos, chapter 19, verse number 17, the verse says, Vaisyatzvu, that the Jewish people stood, Besach Tizor, in the bottom of the mountain. The Gemara says that the bottom of the mountain, it is literally. Meaning, Omar Abdima Barachoma Barchasa, Melamed, from Hey You Learn, Shekofa Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem Es Ahar Kegigis, that Hashem covered them with the mountain as it would have been an upturned vat, meaning Hashem took the mountain and put it over our head, Ve'omalohem, and he told us, Im atem mekabelim haTorah mutaf, if you are receiving the Torah, fine. Ve'im lav, if you don't accept the Torah, shom tehei kevuraschem, there will be your burial ground. Meaning, the Hashem says that if you don't receive the Torah, then you'll take this mountain and put it over our heads. Tosfos asks a question, why does Hashem need to put a mountain over our head and threaten us to receive the Torah when we already had said, Naseh v'nishma, we already accepted the Torah? Then why does Hashem need to put the mountain over our head to threaten us when we already agreed without coercion to accept the Torah? And Tosfos answers that had Hashem not threatened us, then we may have changed our minds when we saw the tremendous fire which accompanied revelation, which temporarily caused our souls to leave our bodies, and that could have caused us to go back and not accept the Torah. Therefore Hashem had to threaten us to tell us that we had no choice. But the Eitz HaChaim gives a different answer. The Etz HaChaim explains that this is a kindness of Hashem, because Hashem wanted us to be protected by the Torah, by the mitzvahs of the Torah. Therefore, had we just accepted by saying Na'aseh V'Nishma on our own, then the Torah does not become obligatory upon us, because we volunteered to accept it. Therefore, we would have not been protected by the mitzvahs of the Torah. But now that Hashem put the mountain over our head, and Hashem forced us to receive the Torah, that means that we are obligated to maintain the 613 mitzvahs and everything that's written in the Torah. Now those mitzvahs protect us, because now they are given from Hashem, and anything given from Hashem cannot be the cause of harm. Therefore, Hashem put the mountain over our head, forced us to receive the Torah. Now the Torah itself is going to protect us. According to this, Sefer Shemeroy says, now you understand why the verse says, Asher lo yitziva oisam, that they did not command them. Even according to the opinion that they did the right thing, but they did halacha lifnei rabo, in front of their rabbi, or they did the right thing, but they came in drunk or missing clothing or didn't wash their hands and feet. Nonetheless, the fact that they were not commanded, that could not protect them from dying. Because if Hashem would have commanded them to do, then even if they came in drunk or they came in missing clothing, technically, since when Hashem commands something, no harm could be done to you, they wouldn't have been harmed. But since they came in and they did something, Asher lo yitziva oisam, that Hashem did not command them to do, therefore they didn't have the mitzvah. Since they didn't have the mitzvah, they didn't have the protection. And since they didn't have the protection, they could be harmed. And that's why Sefer Shemeroy continues and says that every time it's mentioned their deaths, it's written that they brought lifnei Hashem, and vateitzeish milifnei Hashem. And then on Parshas Achrei Mos, on chapter 16, there it also says, bekarvosom lifnei Hashem, when they came in front of Hashem, because their problem was that they came in front of Hashem. They came before Hashem commanded it, lifnei Hashem. Even though they did the right thing by doing what they did, nonetheless, they did it lifnei Hashem, before Hashem commanded them. But had they done it after Hashem commanded them, then Sefer Shemeroy says that they wouldn't be harmed, because we know that the mitzvah protects you from harm. Therefore, their problem was that they did it lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem's commandment, meaning before Hashem commanded and not after Hashem commanded. In regards to the idea that the children of Aharon died because they passed a judgment in front of the rabbi, meaning they were oira locha lifnei rabbi, the Rachaim HaKodesh asks a very strong question. Further on in the Parsha, on chapter 10, verse number 12, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon and his children that even though normally when a person loses a relative, he is called a onan and he may not eat from holy offerings, nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon that he should eat the leftover mincha and he should also eat the breast and the thigh from the offering in a holy place. Even though they lost their relatives and Aharon lost his sons, Nadav Avihu, that day, nonetheless, since he's the Kohen Gadol, he has to eat these offerings even though he's in the day of death mourning, which is Aninus. And then on verse number 16, it says there, Vesira Chatos, and in regards to the he-goat of the sin offering, Dorash Dorash Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu investigated, Vehine, sort of, it was burnt. Meaning it was not eaten, it was burnt. And Moshe Rabbeinu got angry on Elazar and his son, the children of Aharon, and he asked him, why didn't you eat the Chatos, the sin offering, in holy place? And then on verse number 19, Aharon tells Moshe Rabbeinu that today we bought the sin offering and the elevation offering in front of Hashem, and if it happens to us like it happened, and I should eat the sin offering, would Hashem approve? And the verse continues that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the argument of Aharon, va'itav be'enav, and he approved. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Zvachim, daf kof aleph omed aleph 101a, that day had three sin offerings. The first sin offering is described on Parsha Shmini, chapter 9, verse number 3, that they have to bring Asir Izim Lechatos. The Jewish people had to bring a he-goat as a sin offering. And Mefarshim explained that this he-goat was only this time either because they needed to atone for the sin of sale of Yosef, which all the Jewish people did, or they needed to atone for the sin of the golden calf. Therefore, they brought this he-goat as a sin offering. And then we know that on Parshas Nosoi, in Bamidbar chapter 7, verse number 16, there, since this was the first day of the inauguration, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we had a sin offering that was brought by Nachshon ben Aminadav, by the leader, the prince of the tribe of Yehuda. And also there was a third sin offering, which is brought every Rosh Chodesh, every first day of the month. And since the inauguration of the tabernacle was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there was also this offering that is brought on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And Rashi explains that Aharon felt that this special offering that's brought only that day, only on the inauguration of the tabernacle, like the korban of Nachshon, the sin offering of Nachshon, or the sin offering that is brought by the Jewish people for the atonement of the golden calf, or for the sin of Joseph, since this is a one-time deal, then even though Aharon lost his children, nonetheless Hashem wants him to eat this offering, because this is a one-time deal, and Hashem knows everything that happens, and since Hashem knew that none of you are going to die, and yet he still told them to bring these offerings, therefore Aharon felt that these offerings is required to eat. But the Rosh Chodesh offering, since this is an offering that's brought every month, it is not specially connected to the inauguration of the tabernacle, Aharon felt that this offering he should not eat, and therefore he burned the offering. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came to investigate what he did, Aharon told him that maybe when you told us to eat the mincha and the breast and the thigh, maybe those were from the offerings that's brought for the day specially, but the offerings that were brought every month, maybe I shouldn't eat. And Moshe Rabbeinu agreed that this is in fact what it should be done. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks a question that since Aharon saw that his children died because they did halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, how is it possible that Aharon should do the halacha without asking Moshe Rabbeinu? If Aharon wanted to burn the offering, Aharon should have gone over to Moshe Rabbeinu and presented him the argument and let Moshe Rabbeinu rule in regards to the argument, and then Aharon would be doing the right thing. How is it that Aharon goes and burns, makes a ruling in regards to that offering in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, when right previously his children died because they made a ruling in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives a few answers to this question. His first answer is that could be that this rule that a student may not give a ruling when the rabbi is present is only when the student is ruling for others, then he's required to ask the rabbi because it is an insult not to ask the rabbi. But when the student is dealing with his own things, is ruling on his own thing, for example here, where Aharon was ruling in regards to eating this offering or burning this offering, then he was ruling what he should do personally. In that case, if the student knows what to do, he's allowed to do it even without asking the rabbi. Nadav Avihu ruled in regards to the Jewish people. They brought the fire pan for the Jewish people. Therefore, they should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu. And since they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu, they died. But in regards to Aharon, since Aharon ruled on himself that he should not eat this offering, then he wasn't ruling for others, he was ruling for himself. In that case, the Or HaChaim brings the Rosh, that the Rosh says that the student is allowed to rule on his own. But then the Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives a second answer, and he says, could be that even in that case, the student may not rule on his own, but the student may rule on his own when it's a clear deduction, when it's a Kal Vachomer, when he learns this from what this rabbi taught him. And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh explains that Aharon HaKohen learned the idea that you have to burn this offering from a Kal Vachomer, from a clear deduction, from the rules of Maser Sheni of the second tithe. The second tithe is that you have to bring to Yerushalayim and spend the money in Yerushalayim. But there is a confession of tithe where it's written in Dvarim chapter 26, verse number 14, where part of the confession is Lo yochalti be'oini mimenu, that I did not eat when I had intense mourning from it, meaning when you have the day of death mourning, you're not allowed to eat Maser Sheni, the second tithe. And the second tithe is eaten by a regular Jew. It's not called holy, doesn't have the same sanctity as offerings. Yet it says that you're not allowed to eat from it when you are in intense mourning. So I haven't deduced that since this is holy, much holier than Maser Sheni, then clearly he's not allowed to eat in a state of mourning. And this is something that he learned from a Kal Vachomer, from what Moshe Rabbeinu taught him. Therefore, the Rachaim wants to say that this is not called Hoira Locha Lifnei Raboi. It's not called somebody who makes a locha in front of his Rabbi, because since he learned it from his Rabbi, then he made a deduction from what his Rabbi said, and that is okay. The only problem I had with this answer of the Rachaim HaKodesh is that Nadav Avihu, according to the Gemara, also made the deduction, but nonetheless, they were punished by being Allah Moira Locha Lifnei Rabbi, by making a judgment in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says that they deduced that since we see every day, even though fire comes down from heaven, even though we have the fires of the altar which were never extinguished, nonetheless, we have a requirement to add fire on our own. That's why every morning we had to make a marocha pyre to add fire on our own. So they also deduce that even though Hashem now, during the inauguration of the tabernacle, consumed the offering, sent down a fire, nonetheless they have to add on their own. That is why they went in and they brought fire from the fire pan. And according to Tosfos' opinion on the Gemara in Eruv in Daf Samach Gimel 63, they did the right thing. So the deduction was right, but nonetheless they did it in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because of that, they died. Then you could see from here that even a deduction, you're not allowed to do it in front of your Rebbe. Then how is it possible that Aharon made a deduction of Kal Vachomer in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and he wasn't punished? Therefore, we could answer this question based on what's written in Bamidbar chapter 3, verse number 1. There the verse says, Ve'ele told us Aharon and Moshe, these are the offsprings of Aharon and Moshe, Bayoim diber Hashem es Moshe Bahar Sinai, when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mount Sinai. It doesn't say exactly when that is, what we are talking about, what date that is. And then in verse number 2 it says, Ve'ele Shmois b'nei Aharon, these are the names of the children of Aharon, Nadav v'Avihu, Elazar v'Isamar, Nadav v'Avihu and Elazar v'Isamar. Rashi is bothered by the famous question. It's written in the beginning of the verse number 1, these are the children of Aharon and Moshe, and yet it only lists the children of Aharon. Rashi says, but Nikru told us that they are called the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, the fish shalom the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Torah. Melamed, from here we learn, Shekola Melamed has ben chaveru Torah, that anybody who teaches the son of his friend Torah, malo olav akosef kilo yaldoi, the Torah considers it as he gave birth to him, meaning that he's considered your child. If you teach somebody Torah, he's considered your child. The famous question that Mefarshim asked there is, if that is true, then why the Torah is listing only Nadav Avihu and Elazar v'Isamar? The Torah should have listed the whole Jewish people, because Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the whole Jewish people, not only to the children of Aharon. And the answer Mefarshim gave is that, according to the Gemara, in Neriv in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis 54b, where the Gemara there describes how Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the Jewish people. The Gemara there says that Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah from Hashem, and then he taught this to Aharon. Then the children of Aharon came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the Torah. And then the elders came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the Torah. And then the whole nation came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the Torah. So the Gemara says it comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aharon 4 times, because Aharon was present when he taught his children, when he taught the elders, and when he taught the Jewish people. His children, the children of Aharon, were taught 3 times, the elders were taught 2 times, and the whole nation was taught 1 time by Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Gemara continues and says that after Moshe Rabbeinu left, then Aharon would teach again what Moshe Rabbeinu said, And then after Aharon left, the children of Aharon would teach the Jewish people what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and then the elders would teach the Jewish people what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That comes out that everybody listens to the Torah at least four times. But nonetheless, we see that the children of Aharon learned Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu more times than the Jewish people did. Therefore, Mefarshim say that the children of Aharon are considered Moshe Rabbeinu's children because of the many times that Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the Torah, but the whole Jewish people are not considered Moshe Rabbeinu's children. In other words, since the children of Aharon learned the Torah two more times from Moshe Rabbeinu before the Jewish people, therefore they are considered the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Mefarshim ask, why in fact did Moshe Rabbeinu teach the children of Aharon more times? Why didn't he teach the children of Aharon together with the elders or together with the Jewish people? What was the point that he wants to teach the children of Aharon separately? In other words, why did he raise their status in such a way? And Mefarshim answer, based on what's written in Parshas Akev, chapter 9, verse number 20, where the verse there says, Uvaharon is son of Hashem me'oid lashmidoi, and Hashem became very angry for Aharon to destroy him. And Rashi explains, to destroy him means to kill all his children. Vespalel gam ba'ad Aharon bo'esai, and I also prayed for Aharon in that time. And Rashi says that my prayer helped, that only half the children died and half the children remained alive. Therefore, Mefarshim explained, since Moshe Rabbeinu knew that a decree was given in regards to Aharon's children that all of them should die, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to save the children of Aharon. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to technically remove the children from being Aharon's children, like that they'll become his children. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu figured that one way to do this, to make the children of Aharon his children, is to teach them more Torah. Once they learn more Torah through him, then he is considered as he fathered them. Therefore, the verse says there, Vele told us Aharon and Moshe, these are the offsprings of Aharon and Moshe Rabbeinu, Bayoim Diber Hashem es Moshe Bar Sinai, when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mount Sinai. What time is that? That is the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain after the Jewish people did the golden calf, and Moshe Rabbeinu says that he prayed for Aharon on the mountain. That is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu decided that these are going to be his children and Hashem should not harm them, because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to teach them more Torah. Therefore, he specifically taught the children of Aharon more Torah in order for the decree that they should die not to take effect, because technically they are the children of Moshe Rabbeinu and not Aharon. Meaning again that the decree was for the children of Aharon to die, but not the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. But now, when Nadav Avihu decided that they're going to make a halacha lifnei Rabboi, when you make a halacha lifnei Rabboi, you kind of saying that you don't need the rabbi anymore, that you are smart enough to rule on your own, that you do not give respect to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Nadav Avihu removed themselves from being the children of Moshe Rabbeinu because they disrespected him. They reverted back to being the children of Aharon, and once they are the children of Aharon, they are going to die because there is a decree that the children of Aharon should die. Therefore, the reason that they died is because Hoyle Halacha Lifnei Rabboi, because they did Halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. But technically, this itself should be enough to punish them by death. But since now they reverted and they stopped being the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning the students of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were literally the children of Aharon, and in regards to the children of Aharon, there was a decree that they should die, therefore Nadav Avihu died. But in regards to Aharon, there was never a decree that Aharon should die. Therefore, even though Aharon did Halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, nonetheless, he did not die. Before I finish, I want to emphasize the Rachaim HaKodesh, which Rachaim HaKodesh in Parshas Achremos says that Nadav Avihu were in a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu, that had Moshe Rabbeinu been a higher level than Nadav Avihu, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have died. Then according to the Rachaim HaKodesh, we must give different answers why in fact they died. And in previous CDs, I discussed them. And Hashem Yisburg should help that in the same way that we had the inauguration of the tabernacle this week, that Moshiach should come, we should have the inauguration of Bayis Shlishi of the third temple. Bimheru Bayomeinu, Amen.